1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show today. We got returning veterans all. We got Patrick. We got Pierce. We got AG killing it in the studio today. We got producer Julian, and I'm your moderator today.
Oh, you're the moderator.
I'm going to try a new thing. I'm going to moderate.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Lent. Going to be talking about Mandela effects. We're going to be digging into the health benefits of nicotine. Can we say that on YouTube?
I was not expecting this, hey, this is quite the surprise.
We had a really exciting pre-show meeting where we just all yelled across this table for a little while. It was a lot of fun. Shona's Benny may or may not be in the room today, and it's going to be a good show. Before we do any of that, we got to start with a prayer. We got to open with prayer, and in my experience, Pierce is a really good prayer. That's all I'm saying. Would you mind teeing us up?
Sure, I don't mind. Yes, fine. Yeah. Perfect. All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for a chance where we get to gather together as brothers and sisters and talk about you, be edified by each other, and keeping our focus, especially during this time, on you. We hope that you help us in growing together and helping say stuff that might mean something to somebody and can help them grow as well. We love you. We thank you for everything you've done. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hey, man. Awesome. It's pretty solid. It's pretty good. I don't know. Once again, I'm not allowed to grade prayers. I don't.
So I've been told hypothetical
not
grades.
To grade prayers.
Metaphorically.
But if I were to.
Right.
I'm going to say 87.5 rounds up to an 88.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Even with no curve either.
No. That's right. Just you. Straight up, man. Straight up. So we're gonna be digging into Lent today after we do some fun facts. But I want to start by mentioning this episode of Honest to God is actually brought to you by the early 1990s movie Kazam, starring Shaquille O'Neal. We all remember it. It's a movie that exists. You remember it. You said you watched it on the Disney Channel?
I did.
You watched it.
But you said Video Warehouse, and I believe that I had that memory, too, rented that for maybe $3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say it was a good movie, but it certainly happened.
But it was a movie that saw with my eyes.
100%.
And my brain saw, and I'm being told by somebody who, for some reason, doesn't want me to believe that Kazam starring Shaquille O'Neal really exists. Are you Googling it over there, producer Julian?
I'm possibly Googling it, yes.
it's a real movie. I don't want to just buy in on the, I guess it's not Mandela effect hype anymore, because that was like 15 years ago that was a big thing. But no, it's real life.
Has a Wikipedia page, so perhaps enough of us pushed back that it did not exist, and it now exists again. So,
wait, really?
It exists? There is a Wikipedia page that says Kazam, Shaquille O'Neal is the star.
Is that how things become real?
We saved it. We made Kazam a movie.
What's next? The cornucopia?
Berenstain Bears.
Okay. Yes.
The cornucopia. Was the cornucopia really there? For those of you who are listening at home, back in the day, Fruit of the Loom had a cornucopia as part of the fruit. And it wasn't just fruit. And then they got rid of that and then they pretended like it never existed. And it did.
If we dig deep enough in my dad's closet, we can find it. I know for a fact.
We're actually going to do that. Our next episode of Honest to God is live from Pierce's dad's closet.
That's right.
Where we'll be digging and searching. What you got any news?
This website says that the cornucopia never existed, that it was just your brain tricking you.
Okay.
We got to try harder, guys. We got to try. Yeah. We made Kazam exist.
Dude.
So apparently us in this room are the only ones that remember a cornucopia, and everybody else is right, and we are wrong. Yeah,
it's rough.
Yes,
according to this website and a lot of other websites.
You know, cornucopias generally represent like an abundance of something. And, you know, this season we're in right now is Lent, right? Mm-hmm. And Lent is sort of the opposite of that.
And so, that was a great segment.
Wasn't that good? Thanks, man.
Wow, your studies are getting it out.
Dude, I didn't get a PhD from the Harvard School for Segways for nothing, man. That's it. But before we get into all things Lent, let's open it up with a fun fact piece, starting with Patrick.
Oh, man. I'll say my fun fact is that, I was on the show here talking about it, but I worked on a film called Triumph of the Heart about St. Maximilian Kolbe, and it's set to release in this fall, fall of 2025. And they just launched, from what I saw on social media, their kind of like grassroots campaign. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see it in Atlanta, like, go to triumphoftheheart.com and see how you can get involved to help bring it here.
100%. We'll link that down in the show notes. Please check that out. I'm super excited about that movie.
Yeah. That was, I mean, we talked a lot about it, so check it out in the episode before when Benji and I were on, but that working on it could have been a movie of its in its right. on its in its own right. It was very like a pilgrimage type and miraculous experience. Like it was like being in that film was it was like almost like what it meant to be Catholic. It's just like very
that's beautiful.
Like people coming together for the purpose of telling the story of a saint and like having going to mass as all the Catholics going to mass together and stuff and just like making the kind of like the body of God alive through storytelling. So it was
really cool. Yeah. Okay, absolutely. We'll link that down below and go check out that episode. That was a good
episode.
Definitely
check it out.
I have changed the whole way that I tell the story of Maxima and Colby based on that episode and all the stuff that I learned about him, but talking to you guys.
Yeah, no, he is a really amazing saint. Yeah, obviously human, so had some flaws. I know there was some stories of him overworking people because mm-hmm. he was so adamant and wanted to get you know the word of God out and was very devoted to Mary, but did incredible things.
John Henry and I have been humbled here, honest to God, a few times for overworking our contestants or panelists.
That's true.
We've started.
I like how you keep calling them contestants. Isn't that man? Fun? Yeah,
it's like contestants for heaven. You
we
know?
We get one voucher to heaven per episode, yes. Per panelist, and we give it to the best panelist. Yeah, we're in charge of that now. Turns out.
Yeah.
What you got, Pierce? You got anything?
It's gonna be really hard to top. That was insane.
That was really beautiful.
So I don't know what time this live episode comes out. I don't know what day this is.
Every episode, is live. So.
It's live. So let's, you know, whether this is after or before what I'm talking about, I will be helping lead a conference for Regnum Christi on the 22nd of March, which already obviously has not happened yet.
Right, which we know the answer. We just want to make sure you know at home.
Make sure you do. We could be Mandela affecting the dates. We don't know. So it's still be Julian calendar.
March has always only had 21 days, Pierce.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. So I'll be leading that with Regnum Christi at All Saints Catholic mm-hmm. Church. Really cool. And I say leading. I'll be leading with other leaders that are much better than me. So
is Jessica Duran still down there at All Saints?
I have no clue. I've never been there. This will be my first time going.
Okay.
But it's being led by like a host of great people. So if you don't like me, there's much better than me, and I would definitely check it out.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Much better than Pierce. I don't know.
It's actually the slogan. Everything's better than he is. That's why you should come.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Big shout out to RC Atlanta. They just had that house fire.
Yeah.
Right behind Pinecrest, off exit 13. Right
Our neck of the woods, actually. Close. At least. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to spiritual direction in that house about 3 days before the fire.
Whoa.
It was wild. Yeah. And I've never been RC, but my spiritual directors have always been RC, and I've always been Legionnaires, and they've been phenomenal.
Yeah. My director is too, and that's how I got involved with them, and they're incredible.
Are you comfortable saying who it is out loud? Are you comfortable telling us who your spiritual director is?
Oh, yeah, Father Bender. So Father John Bender is new to Atlanta.
Yeah,
and we met on
Big Camino. Guy.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's
Big guy.
He built like a freight train.
Or Philadelphia or something?
I think he's from Philly. He was in Chicago before
Atlanta.
He's
got a great voice.
He does. He's also maybe opening up a podcast again, and like he is just a killer on the mic. So I would keep your eyes out. Keep your ears peeled.
Not the kind of guy you want to get in a bar fight with.
No, that's why he also is a good director, because like you can't really... You can't fight back.
Yeah. I'm rocking Father Bruce Wren. Do you know Father Bruce?
I don't know Father Bruce.
He's new from Chicago, too.
Okay.
About a year ago, he came down, a little over a year. And he's awesome. He's from Idaho originally. He's just this cool.
Oh,
he's such a cool dude. He's bullies me into doing all kinds of stuff I ought to be doing anyway.
That's how I got this gig with the conference. He's like, you should do this. I was like, okay. Like,
yeah. I mean,
no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What about you, AG? What you got?
Well, if we're all plugging things.
Plug away. What's going on with City on Purpose?
I would say that I am like a fish fry aficionado. It is fish fry season, City on Purpose has our ultimate Georgia fish fry guide for this year. So if you're looking for any fish fry things to do, definitely check it out.
I always struggle when this comes up because last year, we don't know if we're doing it this year, but last year we did fish fry. We went to a bunch of fish fries and kind of filmed some live takes from the different fish fries. And all fish fries are not created equal.
True.
No.
100%. I've had, and I won't name names of churches, you know who you are, but I've had some really awful fish fries. I will give a big shout out to Christ Redeemer in Dawsonville, Georgia. They have a very good fish fry. They do fried pickles. They got all kinds of fried stuff that comes out with the fish fry. Wow. Because everybody knows that the real meaning of Lent is eating delicious fried fish on days that you can't eat meat. Yes. Really, we should do it in reversal. You should find out which one are the worst and say, for penitential reasons, go check out this fish fry. You deserve it. That's Repent and believe in the gospel while you eat this awful, cold, soggy fish.
That's good.
If you are listening at home and on YouTube, comment down below your favorite fish fry, the church that you've gone to that was just really stuck out to you, and let us know why it was your favorite.
Yeah, or I'm going to go to the other end. Shame a church. Yes. Say that Our Lady of whatever in wherever, their fish is terrible. What are they even doing over there? Yeah. I did get a delicious Wendy's fish sandwich the other Friday.
Wendy's is good.
Wendy's is superior to McDonald's in the fish sandwich game. Yeah, 100%.
You're speaking of big game, because I love the McFish.
No, dude, I do too. And I can eat like 17 McDonald's like fish fillet sandwiches, but Wendy's, it's a step above. I would check it out.
All right, I'll see you on Friday.
I would check it out. Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait. So let's dig into this, guys. Let's dig into a lot. And I want to just throw out a statement that I think is going to kick off the discussion. Latin Rite Catholic Church is weak sauce on Lent. We don't do a good job, and I'm kind of embarrassed. One of my biggest fears this time of year is some dude with a 4-foot-long beard wearing a black cassock and a big wooden cross is going to walk up to me and ask me how my Lent's going, and I'm going to have to lie so I don't just... No, I won't actually lie. I don't know what I'll say. I'll try to find some linguistic gymnastics to get out of it. But, like, I'm okay. Like, I'm not eating meat on Fridays, and, like, I'm giving up, like, alcohol. And then he's going to be like, I have not eaten in 4 weeks, and every day I pray in a graveyard while kneeling on grits for the souls of Bergen. I'm like, all right, cool, man. So I want to hear about y'all's Lenten experience, and I would love to tee it up, Patrick, if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
But talking about what you were sharing before we started the episode.
So I have actually a couple of thoughts on that before I get into it. One thing I think that we should remember, one thing I like about the Eastern churches, since you alluded to, is the fact that that's kind of an ideal to be able to work towards that. And I know as like Americans and Westerners, we just want to be in the ideal. We just want to be like, I want to be the best right away. And even spiritually, like, you work towards that, right? So, I mean, I hope... If you have a friend that's interested in Catholicism or something, you just wouldn't say, like, pray 15 rosaries a day or whatever. You just tell them to start with a Hail Mary every day or something. And so, like, I think we should... I know that, like, I've been involved in a lot of, like, traditional communities and stuff that, like, shame people that just give up chocolate. But I feel like if someone is at least even trying that, it's a very good thing. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't idolize the... It's not about necessarily, like, fasting is a part of it, but it's not the only part. And we should be making sure that the reason we're fasting is that we're growing spiritually closer to God, and making more room for prayer is, at the end of the day, like, the purpose of it, to be, like, ideal Christians in the world. Another thing I love about Lent is the fact that it kind of... I think we forget that the liturgical calendar for the church is not... just for the church, it's like a theology of the body type of thing, where our body has seasons too, and amazingly, like, the church knows and God knows, like, our bodies and our seasons very well, more so than maybe we do.
Right.
And so the liturgical seasons and holidays aren't just for the church; it also includes how our natural world works along with our own bodies, and it's a... You know, I don't want to turn it into like a utilitarian type of thing, but there is an aspect of it that helps, like, reset ourselves in a way also to just, like, you know, I've been kind of like eating too much filth, right? So, like, I'm going to dial back and get healthy again. Or even, you know, back when most of it was like peasants and farmers, you would kind of like, okay, this is now we can kind of like regroup and get the younger animals to be older so that we don't eat into like our herds and things like that. Sure. So it's all coincides together. Like, that's the beautiful thing about the church. Like, everything unites and comes together. It's not separate things.
At the incarnation, right, Christ sanctifies the flesh in a way that was not sanctified before. We're still made in the image and likeness of God, but when he actually comes into flesh and walks among us, I mean, that's a big key component of theology of the body, is this understanding that what is that our physical bodies are a reflection of like these divine eternal truths. Mm-hmm. And I think that's lost sometimes. Can you speak a little bit to, you said you did some, was it Byzantine?
Yeah, so I tried. So the Byzantine, I go to a Malachite Catholic church, which is within like the Byzantine.
The one downtown? Right?
It, St. John Chrysostom's, yeah.
Heck
off of
yeah,
Pont's nearby.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Is that the one that was Asa Candler's mansion?
Yeah, yeah. I recently did a project with someone that was like there from the beginning, like when that whole community was being built up, and it's very interesting history of like the Malachites in the Roman Catholic Church and just like the Syrian community here in Atlanta and wanting and the acquisition of that building, stuff like that. But so I remember I was actually, you know, after liturgy, they have part of it is culturally they have this thing where they invite everyone to their hall at the back for coffee hour for community and stuff. Sure. Like that is very much encouraged. So like they view it a little bit, I don't know what the word is, like a little disrespectful if you just kind of like run out and don't join them in the hall, right? Sure. It's like someone inviting you for breakfast or dinner and you just like blow it off. The we should be a community together also. And so I remember I had like a coffee hour and I was grabbing some food and I heard other parishioners talking and they were saying something came up where I was like, wait, you guys don't eat dairy or meat all of Lent? I sat with my priest and I had talked all about it, and yeah, they basically go, their fasting basically includes having a vegan diet all 40 days, so it's not just limited to Wednesdays and Fridays, it's for all 40 days, no dairy or meat, and that includes fish. So
eating
fish
with
fries,
the vertebrae,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So basically fish fries wouldn't be a thing, it would have to be like scallop fries or mussel,
right, yeah.
And then there's obviously almsgiving is a big part of it. I know, and obviously you want to be doing that in the Roman Church too. So giving, being more available for almsgiving to be involved, and then obviously prayer is the third big one. So it's fasting, almsgiving, and prayer are huge. So the purpose of having a simple diet is that you're cooking less, so you have more time to pray. It's
the idea.
Right? So what's ironic though is like for me, it actually took me longer when I went on a vegan diet because I had no like recipes or like what to eat. So I ended up taking more time because it's much easier for me to just throw like eggs and ground beef in a pan and just,
right.
Yeah, just eat it done.
That's like 90% of my diet right now.
So, but I guess it was a little bit of a learning process. It was tough. I did it. I ended up eating nothing, but we talked about this before the show started rolling, but I ate nothing, but I made guacamole and refried beans and rolled it up in a tortilla, and that was my lunch and dinner for, I'm pretty sure, like 35 days of Lent.
Yeah, brutal.
Your poor guy.
Yeah.
I want to ask, and that was awesome, but I know the question that comes up a lot that I get asked, and I honestly don't know the answer, why fish is okay, but meat is not, at least for the Roman Catholics, because most people say, or a lot of people say, that they like fish better than a lot of our meats.
Literally had sushi nights on Fridays during Lent, not realizing, like, this probably isn't in the spirit.
No.
Like, Angie, my wife and I have gone out to, like, the all-you-can-eat sushi. I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud of it either. But, like, I didn't eat all day. I mean, I ate a little bit, but not enough to equal one meal. I'm technically
fasting.
I had two
small snacks.
Now I'm going to gorge myself. On sushi. I don't know. Does anybody know where that comes from?
I don't know. Yeah. I was going to say that, did you know that you can eat capybara in the Roman Catholic Church?
Capybara. Beaver is okay.
Yes, and I believe alligator. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alligator. That makes sense. That's a good one. For the Cajuns.
It's everywhere where there were a lot of French people in the New World.
Right.
You can eat whatever. So it's like Quebec for the beaver and then alligator for
South America for capybara.
That's great. Right. I love that, actually.
I believe the fish is because it is cold-blooded.
Interesting. Okay.
And so we're talking about the blood of Christ is the big thing. I also think there's a tie between fish and Christ, of course, with the parables that we have. And recently I learned at a wonderful mass at Georgia Tech, by the way, that the faith, hope, and charity, or I'm sorry, what are we doing? The prayer, things, the almsgiving, and then fasting, I should say. Faith, hope, and charity is also important. Those are seen in the parable of, or the story of the 40 days of the temptation of Jesus.
Sure.
When he's talking to Satan. So he's entering his mission, his ministry, off of a fast, and those three things are primary in his dialogue with Satan. And that's how you protect yourself. And I was like, this is just so cool how smart the Catholic Church is and the Bible
so
is.
So much of it goes so much deeper, right? Yeah. Whatever it is, when we're talking about the liturgical calendar, when we're talking about Lent or whatever, right? It goes so much deeper than anything you realize. And you start to dig, and then you keep digging, and you keep digging. Yeah. And there's so many things that just are sort of cultural norms that we do because that's what you do. And I will say, there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for this is the tradition that's been passed down for a couple thousand years now, right? And you should do this thing because you should do this thing, right? Yeah. Tradition is the democracy of our ancestors, right? I think that's really cool. But it's a good idea, especially now when we have so much information at our fingertips, to really dig into it.
There's also a thing I recently learned from Joe Heschmeyer on Shameless Popery. Great video about Lent. So I like the fact that we have a church with doctrine, and also this is how our faith starts, with doctrines that develop over time, that become shaped over time. Where we understand the Trinity after hundreds of years of debate and a lot of people being mad for a long time to make sure that we get it right. It's important. But Lent is so early done in the church. We're talking the Didache is talking about fasting, and the Didache might have existed before most of the New Testament.
Right.
And so we're talking about the church talking about fasting for getting baptized, becoming involved in the church to begin with, and even those sponsors back then, for lack of better terms, that were bringing in people to baptize. Right. We're going in fasted for 40 hours. And then it slowly over time, slowly as in 50 years, became 40 days for the remembrance. And we also follow this from Jewish religion. They are fasting before Passover. They're fasting before they eat of the lamb.
Right.
So it's just a really cool thing that we have that. It's not a new thing. It's not to flex that we're not trying to flex that we're fasting and starving. We're not Pharisees.
Right.
But it's a thing that's scriptural and historical from the time the church began. Mm-hmm. And I really like that about our faith.
No, I also think it's cool, when Lent and Ramadan and Passover all come together. Mm-hmm. I feel like all the Abrahamic religions, we team up, Powerpuff Girls. <That's> so cool. The Avengers. It was cool. I saw a TikTok before Lent when I was on TikTok, and I believe she was Orthodox, and she was talking about how she was going to, veil for Lent, and there were so many nice Muslim girls in the comments being oh my gosh, we're gonna do this together, if you have any questions let me know, and just it's really cool to see when everybody kind of comes together with these things.
Yeah, that's cool.
I do want to
throw a little bit of shade at Cardinal Dolan for something he said recently. Did you see this?
No. I'm excited.
It was on the Twitter sphere or something where he talked about how Lent was Catholic Ramadan, and it made me so mad because I wanted to say the same thing you were saying. Didache, no, we had this thing rocking and rolling for 600 years before beforehand. Ramadan can be Muslim Lent. We can say
that's
that.
Right.
I want to make the distinction. But it is interesting, going back to monotheistic, Abrahamic religions, right, how we're not talking about this even being a 2,000-year tradition of this period of sort of preparation and fasting. We're talking about it being, Jewish calendar? What are we on, 5,000 something right now, right? Yeah, your tradition of all of this. I think that's
all the way back to Moses.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think about that. Like, we've all been doing this thing together for so long.
My wife was listening to some podcast not too long ago, and the guy was a kind of middle-aged guy. His daughter was of dating age, and one of the questions that he was asked on the podcast was, when you have what's one of the requirements, one of the things you really would like to see in a man who's dating your daughter? And he said, show me a man who can fast. Mm-hmm. And then he talked about self-mastery and all that kind of goes into that. I've been doing some pretty serious fasting stuff. And once again, not trying to be pharisaical about it. Although it would have been funny if, when you said not to be pharisaical, you had done a jump cut to me and I was literally in sackcloth and ashes. I'm plucking my beard on camera caught me being holy. I'm not surprised.
We would love to do those type of things, honest to God, but we are in desperate need of some more funding. So, again, to echo the next pledge drive, please contribute so that we can grow and create content like this that could really engage the audience.
Yeah, it was poor budgeting for us to spend that $300,000 on the pinky ring that you guys got me for our 2-year anniversary special. But I really appreciate it. Not really a pinky ring guy, but I feel like I'm rocking it. But anyway, going back to that, and I like what you said, Patrick, because it sort of counters what I'm about to say, and it's kind of making me chew on it a little bit, right? I just gave a talk recently to a group of young people, right, high school, college age people. on Lent not being just a self-help thing. I know you're not saying Lent is just for self-help, but I'm saying the way that these things work in sort of the natural order of our physiology is something that we don't need to be ashamed by, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I lose some weight every Lent. I think that's really cool. That's a nifty little side quest that's a part of it. But I feel like a lot of people structure Lent as a... sort of this 40-day period of self-help to do the things that you ought to be doing. And while it should not primarily be that, I think it is kind of, sounds like what you're saying is it's kind of okay to recognize and say, like, no, that's also good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all of it, right? So, like, God is a loving Father, and He wants us to live what we're called to do. And so, like, if there's distractions in your life, whether that's food or media or something like that, and it gets you off of that and mm-hmm. focus to minister to what He's calling you to do, I think that's a good thing. It's tricky being, you're a human being, and we always kind of like lean towards extremes, like even something as good as Lent, like sometimes like fasting could even be prideful for you because you take it on as a challenge, and so sure. you're like, you try to show like, I'm so strong, I can do this fast or whatever. But we always should just have a remembrance of like why you're doing it. But yeah, I mean, Catholicism like includes everything, right? So it's never like which one, this one or this, it's both,
right?
Right. Yeah.
Totally. All right, we got about 2 minutes left. Producer Julian, you got any Lent thoughts before we go to our break?
The only thought was you brought up the Twitter sphere, and I've been off of social media for Lent. That it was becoming a disorder of mine, so I don't know what's going on. It's been a little challenging.
Nothing
exciting. Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. I was peer pressured into getting a Twitter by my boss not too long ago.
And probably me a little bit
and
too.
You a little bit. Yeah. I was totally off social media for a very long time. Right. And I was proud of that. But mm-hmm.
Twitter is fun, though. It is right now. Yeah.
I don't do it at the house, though, which is nice. Like, I don't have any internet at the house because of how holy I am. And no, I don't do it because, once again, not because I'm strong, but because I'm super duper weak. And so I've removed that. So when I'm home, even to my house, I have mm-hmm. no cell phone reception. I have no anything. It forces me to do all these things I ought to be doing anyway.
Right.
But my wife and I are going to watch the next episode of Reacher when I get home tonight, which I'm excited. I'm excited about.
We started doing The Chosen as a family. So
we did all The Chosen. Sorry, just to derail. We got a minute before break, and I want to go off on The Chosen again because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. My dad loves The Chosen.
Praise
God. Is like all in. He, every time a new season comes out, he buys us the Blu-rays and sends them, like, has them mailed to my house, right? And it's really cool. My dad and I have never had similar interest in anything, right? In the religious sphere or outside of it. And so we do Chosen family movie nights right now.
That's great.
All right, when we get back, I really want to dig into, and I don't want to be pharisaical, but I want to dig into why are you giving up what you're giving up? Why are you taking on what you're taking on? And really talk about the taking on aspect of it. And I think, are you doing Exodus? You're doing Exodus Lent.
I'll explain the Exodus. It gets complicated, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into all of that and a whole lot more as soon as we come back from the break. All right, cool. Well, I got to make sure. It's tricky sometimes over there. That's why you're the boss. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio, part 2. of our Lenten episode. Exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff. And I want to take one brief moment to remind our listeners that we would love to have you on the show, too, because we also have a lot of fun when we're not on camera. And you're missing out on that if you're not
100%
reaching out, which you can at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. Let us know you're interested in being on the show. And one of our producers, maybe me, maybe somebody above me, will reach out to you and maybe we'll get you out here.
Dig it. I like it. Yeah, come hang out. The green room's fun and packed, and I make a lot of noise. And
a lot of noise.
Yeah, it's really
usually
good.
We always have food. I shouldn't say usually, but yeah, we always have food.
So talking about self-denial, I want to open it up by going back to something we were talking about off air. And I won't say the name of the trend because it's a little crass, but I learned a few minutes ago that there's an actual thing where human beings go on very long flights and don't watch television. And we did a Pope episode a while back, and we were talking about things that I would enact if I were Pope. And I think one of the top things would be that those people just can't go to heaven. If you purposely, like, I get it, your TV's broken or something, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not staring at that screen watching television on your flight from like Hartsfield Jackson to Heathrow across the Atlantic Ocean, like, you shouldn't live in a society. You shouldn't be allowed to be a part of this, right?
It's a very disordered term that they use for what you're talking about, but yeah, I understand. Yeah.
But they just stare at the map. They stare at the map the whole time. So it really bugs me.
What if they're like a monk or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. No, I think that's a blanket statement. Whatever vows you took go out the window while you're on the airplane in regards to entertainment.
It's just so much time. Like it's a long flight. Like, we're about to go on our honeymoon, and it's going to be like 12 hours. Yeah. I've gone to China. It's an insane amount of time.
You went to China?
I've gone to China twice.
Did you have a layover? Did you go straight
to China? So I've flown from Atlanta to Detroit, and then Detroit to like Japan, Shanghai. And then from Japan to China, and then
I'm glad you went to Detroit to break it up.
Yeah. And then I've done Atlanta to LA, LA to China.
Wow, why were you in China? That has, I'm sure.
I have three younger adopted siblings. So yeah,
no way from China. Yeah. That's the coolest thing ever. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm flying Hartsfield Jackson to Cape Town this summer, and it's going to be awful. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that's a long flight, too. I've done it.
Have you really?
I've went from New York. Mine was from New York to Abu Dhabi, and then from Abu Dhabi to Cape Town. Well, Johannesburg, I think. It was.
That's wild. Yeah, I did Atlanta, Heathrow, Cape, or Johannesburg one time, but it was really cool because you start in Heathrow, then you fly across the continent, right? You see Europe, right, from 30,000 feet, but then you get the Mediterranean, and then you fly, and so you get to see it go from Sahara Desert to rainforest, then it starts to, like, lighten up a little bit as you get down into Southern Africa, and then it's super cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What I like to recommend to people is that they go on Spotify, they subscribe to Honest to God, and they download about 7 episodes, and that'll get you through about a 7-hour flight. If it's, longer, like 11, if you're going to Cape Town, then just download the most recent 11 episodes and listen to them.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. That's another trend. That's another TikTok trend.
That's right.
Where people, they call it Honest to Godding, where they just watch dozens of episodes of Honest to God in a row, and then they like, subscribe, hit the bell.
Mm-hmm. If you have YouTube Premium, you can download the video so you can have something to watch, because I know that can be boring. So, yeah.
People sometimes open up multiple windows on their laptop and so that they can have multiple episodes going at the same time to get the view count up. That's a really common thing. They'll make multiple YouTube accounts and then like it. That's another part of the whole trend.
And sometimes argue with themselves in the comments, too.
These are all trends that are super common and popular and normal, and people do it.
And so we recommend it.
We recommend Honest to Godding. All right. So a couple of things that I want to dive into. I want you to talk Exodus 90 for a minute.
Sure. Yeah. Exodus 90 is, I think, more difficult than Lent when it comes to the Roman Rite. I know the Byzantines go hard, the Easterns go hard, but Exodus 90 was like a really cool thing to kind of bring into my life as a convert. So I started that last year. That was my first successful one. This year was not so successful.
You did all 90 days last year? Good for
you. I did 90 last. Well, I also, everything about last year was like, I was so pumped and so ready that I wanted to kind of clear out everything from my past and really kind of come into this hardcore. And so it coincided with my coming into the faith. So I was just kind of doing everything all at once.
Awesome.
That was great. Exodus 90 is like, what is it called? Like 75 hard. A lot of dudes do that nowadays. We're 75 days. Females do it too. Like, you work out, regimented diet, schedule, sleep for this many hours. Kind of staying off of social media sites, whatever things bother you, kind of bring you down.
Yeah.
And Exodus 90 is like that, but it's prepping you into the Lenten season all the way up to Easter. I forget when it starts. It's 90 days prior to Easter.
Right.
So it's really cool. This year did not go to plan for me. Yeah. This year I've been struggling a lot with my Lenten sacrifices, and so I've kind of decided to prioritize those over the Exodus 90.
Sure.
So it started out with a few times we'd be out with a birthday from Knights of Columbus guys that I'm with, mm-hmm. and we would realize we drank alcohol, which is the number one thing that most dudes don't do in Exodus 90.
Right.
So I was like, oh, it's Exodus 89 now. And then we just kind of kept having those things.
88, 87. Oh, gosh.
And then like the diet went out the window because for some reason this year, quitting nicotine, which has been my biggest vice my whole life, just nicotine, is making me just desire sweets or beer to get something off of. Thinking about vaping or smoking cigarettes or Zen, whatever it is.
Right.
And so
we're not going to recommend drinking to stop nicotine on us, to God, for the record.
Doctors don't do it anymore.
The whole take a shot every time you want a cigarette thing, probably not a good idea.
It works for a few days. Right. Then another addiction starts. No, so Exodus 90 is great, though. It's a really good time where they focus on the ascetic lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So you're making sure, and I think it's the closest thing like popularized Roman rite things have to a more Eastern understanding of like Lent and sacrifice. Because you are really trying to limit exposure to social media, to television, to anything that's kind of distracting, really fast-paced. You slow down your life. You have moments of meditation, adoration hour, you know, praying. And, of course, like the St. Augustine quote comes to mind. Treat your body as if it's going to live forever and your soul as if it's going to die tomorrow.
Sure.
So in that regard, you're like chiseling both facets of your body. It is a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing, a physical thing. And it's all for God's glory, but also it does shape and sharpen you, and it helps you with the community too. Because usually it's like girls are doing it in a group. I think it's called Fiat 90 for females.
Yeah.
And then and I've never like, I know that there's some girls that I know that have done it. They love it. And then for Exodus 90, the guys have the community as well, prayer groups, and they're kind of keeping together, keeping each other accountable. It's really cool. It's a really cool way to shed off
the things. Communal aspect, I think, is so important.
100%.
It's so important. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I did it years ago. The hardest part, hands down for me, was the showers. It was the cold showers. I thought it was, I was positive, because you can relax one on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was positive I was going to say, I have a bourbon. I love a good bourbon. Right. Right? That's one of my favorite things to do at night. I sit down, I pour my little bourbon. I, you know, hang out with my wife, do whatever. But I was thinking 100%, oh my gosh, no. It was, and it wasn't relaxed. It was scalding hot shower, like just groaning in the bathroom. Like everyone in the house, like, what's going on? Just, oh yeah.
Making up for a week of cold.
It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. Because my cold showers, you know, were like 30 seconds on, soaked up, out, rest, one, two, three, in, rinse off, out, right? Yeah. And now it's wild.
You never get used to the cold shower.
No.
I think
I actually did. I willingly will go and take a
right
cold
now?
Shower.
On purpose?
Yeah.
No. Dude, I like a cold
even
plunge.
Even like not during Lent or like middle of winter, I'll do like the cold plunge or any of that.
You related to Wim Hof? Huh? Like, I'm just like, that's crazy. No, like, I do cold plunges occasionally.
Oh,
I
mean, it's great. Cold plunges are fine.
But it's different than the shower. The shower is like multiple new waves of cold hitting me.
Oh, that's interesting. I almost sometimes feel like it's not even cold enough.
Dude,
that's weird. You're on a different level.
Yeah, so I need to become Polish, Eastern.
Polish genes able to handle better than we can.
The Byzantine rite.
I was down in Florida this past weekend, and I had a buddy with a sauna. We did sauna cold plunges. Ooh, it was the best. It was the best.
Fire ice.
Yes.
It's good.
It was so good.
What did you do first? Did you go hot first and then
cold? Hot first, then cold.
That's a crazy.
Yeah.
That's a reality shift.
Got gross, sweaty, awful. Yeah. And then it felt so good for about 1/100th of a second. And then it was, why was I in it? But then we were like, now we're going to stay in here for at least a minute.
Yeah.
Right? Get under, get all, whatever. And it's wintertime, so we just jumped in this pool. Right? And so I've done it with like the cold coils. I can get down to like 40 degrees or something. That was awful.
It's rough.
Awful.
It's rough.
Yeah. So all of that is to say, if you're not doing all this for Lent, then
what are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? Trying? What are you trying?
Would you be open to doing Exodus 90 again in the future?
Yeah, if you'll do it with me.
I was actually going to suggest that.
I'll do it with you.
If I'm around, if you're around.
I need the peer pressure. I need the positive, like the brotherhood peer pressure of Exodus 90, 100%.
That's exactly what I think this year lagged too. All of us started. And kind of like not knowing if other people were doing it. And we all realized at that night, the birthday party, we're like, we were all supposed to be doing this, and we didn't tag each other, didn't make a group chat, so we just kind of lost it. So community is important for that, for sure.
I made the mistake one time. I had a really, really lax anchor, you know, like your partner with Exodus 90, and it was awful. It was like an Exodus 23, maybe. Maybe Exodus 23. Every time I was like, hey, man, so like I was out with some guy. Everybody, I just got a beer. I'm sorry. He's like, well, guess that means I get a beer too. I was like, Yeah, it does. It does. And then by the end,
that's
it
the
was.
Bro code.
We kept going to the group like once a week, and it was embarrassing. It was
just
so
became
bad.
More of like a confession chat.
Exactly.
I drank again.
Let me just say, that's how it felt. Like, hi guys, I let everyone down once again.
So a good anchor should do, or would do. I shouldn't say should. I don't like
penance.
That. Yeah, a penance. Yes. So I will do an extra workout this week for you. That would be a right. good Whoa. Anchor. Yeah.
No, we decided opinion. That if one person wasn't up to snuff, the other one didn't have. It was so terrible. So yeah, find a good group of guys though. It's super interesting. I have written on my little sheet here from the producers that I should throw out the catchphrase "living liturgically" and hear if anybody's got any feedback on that, especially during the Lenten season. I feel like we've been talking about that. From what I can like gather from context clues here, that's sort of what Lent is. But I don't know. Can anybody speak to that term a little bit? I'm not sure why I've got it down.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the first segment of the podcast, but it's, you know, for example, like when Easter comes around, it's also Easter should be like in some sense like an opposite of Lent in terms of it's like 40 days of feasting, mm-hmm. right? Like we should try our best to live in accordance with the church's calendar, and I think once. I feel like society used to do that all the time. Like, it was just kind of built in the way societies right. run. You, like, live together with the church. And now it's kind of like we live in the secular world and we try to incorporate the liturgical calendar of the church into our, like, our secular lives to some extent.
Yeah.
And I think if we shifted that mindset that the living liturgically is not, like, an arbitrary thing. It's, like, how we should be living. I think our lives will start to, like... health and everything else will kind of like align in accordance to like how to live with God. So, you know, there's seasons of penance and fasting. There's season of feasting. We should take feasting also just as importantly as we do like fasting and penance. I feel like sometimes I have some like Roman Catholic friends that feel like they're very, sometimes they feel a little guilty for almost feasting after going through the penance season. Right. So like, you know, I talked to my brother actually once, like after Easter, and he's like, it was like a Wednesday or something. I was eating meat. It was within the 40 days. And he's like, why are you eating meat on a Wednesday? I was like, dude, it's Easter. I'm feasting, yeah. right? So like, right. so like, we shouldn't feel necessarily guilty about that. But when Easter ends and we slowly go back to the rhythm of things like ordinary time and stuff, yeah, then I encourage like, try to incorporate stuff you're doing into Lent during that ordinary thing too. Like, try not eating meat on Fridays throughout the whole year. And then later try to incorporate not eating meat on Wednesdays also and different stuff like that.
Well, so
like
and the fasting is made fasting because of the feasting. If we're all fasting yeah. or if we're all feasting all the time, right, then what? And I feel like that's why, I mean, myself personally, right, that's why I struggle with this. We live in this super artificial world, like you were saying, where it's a lot harder to sort of live in concert with the liturgical calendar, right, where the vast majority of us aren't living hyper-agrarian lifestyles. We've got all the processed food, whatever, to make all the little endorphins fire in our brains and all this stuff are pumping into our brains. And so it makes it really hard. And it's I feel like 600 years ago, I wouldn't even have to be that purposeful about it because not only am I living in a society that's all designed around this, right, where we actually put first things first, but also the ebb and flow of my life is so tied to the seasons and these things in a way that is much more natural. And so now you have to be purposeful about it in a way that you didn't used to have to be.
I mean, I also think, too, like we didn't back then, people didn't have access to like calendars. You weren't right. tied down to like physical things, you know, like you didn't have access to a calendar on your phone, you didn't have that in your home, like mm-hmm. the church was the one that was leading these things, and like, you know, the bells would ring for church and for service and stuff, so like totally. That life was around that, because now we have access to everything and we are so disconnected to that.
100%.
There's also an aspect of it being like time almost being like overly defined, like because yeah. we have before it was like the sun comes up, I work, the sun goes down, I go to sleep, yeah. right? It was like very simple, mm-hmm. like living. Now with time and days and calendars where we could like number everything that yeah. we feel like we schedule according to that instead of just like, oh, sun's up, I'm going to work, sun's down, I'm with like
yeah. right.
getting ready to rest. And wow. so it's like seasonally and yeah. stuff like that.
I wonder how much that affects, like, we have this idea of seasonal moods or seasonal depressions
sure.
too.
Yeah.
We're not living in some kind of like habit, you know, animals have their habits and there's instincts
right.
that are, there's something they're not taught. They just do. No one teaches the bird to fly this way during this time. It's just a migratory, it's an instinct. And I feel like, you know, we should be breathing with the church. Mm-hmm. As the church does something, we should be acting in accordance with them. We are the body.
Sure.
The whole body.
Right.
And back then, there's churches leading you and your community to do this. We're all suffering together. We're all celebrating together.
Yeah.
And that's with whatever you had. If you were the poor family or the rich family, you all joined in together. And whatever feast you could make, that was your feast.
Yeah.
I wonder if we lived more liturgically, if that would affect our moods as well. Because, like, yeah, I have no reason to live with dopamine-less, no nicotine right now.
Right.
Like, my sure. normal state is so loaded with, like, things to help me move on and live on. And I'm crutchless right now, except for sweets. Sweets are my crutch. And so if I lived with God's calendar, and I'm supposed to be, you know, mourning when he's mourning and joyful when he's joyful, does that help me? I'm curious on that. So I'm going to try that. It's a really cool thing to do, liturgically living.
Yeah, and I think so, too. Like, I think as Americans, we are so far away from, like, feast days and stuff. Like, especially in Europe, like, each country has their own, like, patron saint. And right. so, like, there's Saint, I think it's Saint Bede's Day. I'm sure Justin will correct me, but, like, Ireland just, or not Ireland, but Scotland just had their, like, Saints Feast Day, and Wales just had theirs. And, like, it's a huge deal. And there's so many, like, traditions, and some of it's mixed with, like, pagan stuff that, like, the Christians were like, that's kind of cool, but we're going to do it for the glory of God. But,
I,
like,
love that stuff, yeah, by the way. Yeah. All these people will, like, cool. fight and argue yeah. against, like, that's not actually, it's like, nah, dude, we 100%,
it doesn't
we
yeah.
rocked the pagans, and we were like, hey, these were great ideas. Like, we're going to incorporate that, but yeah. now we're going to make it for the glory of God. So it's yeah. a really good thing.
But we don't really have that here in America. I feel like everything is so, like, you know, like, just so, like, individualistic, and, yeah. like, I feel like our... the things that we celebrate are, like, the 4th of July and, like, Memorial right. Day. Like, we don't have, like, the religious kind of, like, meaning behind those sure. things. And so I think that we lose a lot of that. Like, and I think that there's a flip side to that. Like, in England, they always eat, you know, fish on Fridays, but there's no, like, meaning behind it. It's right. just what they've always done, but they've lost that religious context to it. So I think it can go kind of both ways, but I think that is something that we're lacking here.
No, like, 100%. I think yeah. being a fairly new civilization, right,
yeah.
in America, and also being found by sort of these, like, Enlightenment Protestant, pseudo-Protestant yeah. thinkers has really shaped everything we do all the time in a way that we don't realize. And especially as Catholics in the United States, it's interesting how, like, most of our Catholic traditions are imported because yeah. the old world has this thousands of years, like, what, 1,500 years of Catholic history on us.
Well, even, like, the way that, like, we celebrate Mardi Gras in the South is very, very different from France. I actually, like, heard this whole thing about Mardi Gras in the South, like, on NPR yeah. of all places, and it was super really, really interesting yeah. and about, like, the traditions that we have here that are so different than other places you can find it.
Right. I think it's cool. I mean, yeah, I think it's super really interesting, cool. but yeah. it is to see how we have managed to secularize all yeah. these really beautiful, to make something like Mardi Gras, right? Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
This just gluttonous,
yes. yeah.
like, celebration of sort of the yes. most base elements yeah. Of ourselves, or even St. Patrick's Day or yeah. something, right? That yeah. has.
Yeah. But it's because it's disconnecting. It's like our culture. So it's like we live in, like, a carnival culture where we're always mm-hmm. indulging stuff. So when a Mardi Gras comes around, it's we have to indulge even more than we usually yeah. do, right? And there's no, like, meaning Whoa. Attached behind it. Whereas, like,
point.
If you're fasting and then you feast, like, it feels yeah. different, right? So, like, if you're eating apples constantly, you're obviously going to want to, like, dunk it in like, sugar yeah. and caramel because it's not what? Sweet enough for yeah. you anymore when you celebrate.
Well, I did a carnivore diet thing for a long time, for not a long, long time, but for months. And just speaking of that, on sort of like a tiny example, when you eat nothing but meat all the time and then you eat a carrot, that carrot is sweet. Ooh, that carrot is good. That is a celebratory carrot, right? I don't like carrots, but I liked carrots, right? A glass of milk. Oh, my gosh. It just, like, pumps you up. And so it's neat. And once again, I think much more natural to live that way. And I'm not saying that you're unnatural and disordered or whatever. If you're not, I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not living, like, in accordance with sort of the liturgical calendar and myself in those ways. But I think there's something to be said for that. I think there's something to chew on there.
Yeah, and then obviously through Lent, like, I think you should expect to fail at some point, right? And so, like, I think confession is a great way to...
Totally.
I think we should always not hold the... like, the trust in ourselves so much, like, oh, through my own will, I'm going to do this penance, but through the penance, learn how weak you are and how much you depend on God to always return to your Father in confession. I think that's a beautiful thing. So even if you're trying and you're failing every week, but you end up in confession every week and continue trying, I think that's way more honorable than a person that's just like purposely flagellating themselves and like not getting anything like out of. They're just doing it for the strengthening of like their own like stoicism or something.
So I want to jump on that confession in particular, because Lent, right? As Catholics, we are required to go to confession once a year during Lent, right? That's one time that's one thing we have to do. Right? I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doctrinally, we're supposed to receive communion at least once a year,
yep.
Right? At Easter, during the Easter season, and go to confession at least once a year during Lent. Obviously, I recommend doing much more than once a year of both,
right?
Right? But I want to talk a little bit around the Archdiocese about confessions that are available. I got good word from an empty void that St. Brendan's, and by the way, St. Brendan's incoming, big shout out that they kill it from a confession standpoint. They have offer so many opportunities for confession, but on they have a penance service on Good Friday from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. You can walk in anytime you want for 10 hours. They will, I assume, have multiple priests there. And also just during the rest of the year, though, I mean, and this is just me spitballing, but I believe St. Brendan's offers confession every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Saturday after
Friday.
Church Friday and Friday.
Okay. Saturday, Friday.
Oh, Friday instead of Saturday. Yeah. All throughout the year, big blocks of time. Another big shout out, St. Luke's in Dahlonega, 30 minutes before every single mass. Father Matt is in that confessional waiting on you. There's almost
also
never
shout
a line.
Out to Father Matt.
In general, yes. Who's like my yes. favorite guy in the world. He's did a great conversion story episode with Father Matt too, that you can yep. check out. Give us some good confession.
For our Athens listeners, there's St. Joe's that does it 6 days a week.
With Father Paul Moreau?
Yeah, that's right.
Love that guy.
Yes, so 6 days a week, Monday through Thursday, it's from 7:15 to 8 a.m. And then on Thursdays, it's from 6 to 7 p.m. And then Saturdays is 8:30 to 10 a.m. So there's really no reason to miss it out there in Athens. It's a great way to kind of bring light to the world, especially out in Athens.
I want to create an app that shows you where confessions are with random priests who are about to leave the Archdiocese that you're never going to see again.
I think that's masstimes.org.
No. It's specifically geared towards this priest is about to go on assignment in Rome for 4 years, and he won't remember your name, right? It's going to be behind the screen. Don't worry about this. He won't recognize your voice. I had one confession one time where I said it was Father Juan Pablo, or no, I'm sorry, Juan Guerra. If anybody knows Father Juan Guerra, he is like a manly man priest. He's awesome. So I go to confession, I always go behind the screen, right? I say all my sins, and he goes, "Okay, John Henry, listen." And I'm like, "Oh, come on, Father, just pretend that you don't know who I am." No, but seriously, if anybody listening, especially if you haven't been to confession in a while, go during Lent. Just practically speaking, there's so many people going there. You don't have to worry about being awkward. Yeah. This is the time.
They're not going
to
remember.
They're not going to remember you. They're not going to remember
anything.
Especially
at a penance service where there's 10 million other people. They will never remember it.
But go and get that off your chest. We all need that. I need that so badly. I need Lord's mercy so badly all the time.
It's one thing that all. So I'm sponsoring a few people right now coming into the church this year, and
heck yeah,
it's been great. A lot of friends of mine that have mm-hmm. come over, some that were not religious at all, some that were religious and raised in the Protestant church, mm-hmm. that came over, and all of them, including myself, were so hyped for our first confession.
Yes,
I'm still hyped for confession. Like even when I am like this priest is going to know who I am and going to call me out, give me like the mm-hmm. worst penance of all time, like crawl up the stairs. Doing
great.
Like a whole rosary, or
awesome.
Whatever. So the reason why we're excited about this is because for us, I've never had a time before being Catholic where I felt truly absolved of my sins, mm-hmm. especially with the faith that I held to at the time and was subscribed to was that I was snow covered dung, and so right. I always thought I was bad. So now to know that I am good because God is good and infuses me with goodness, if
heck
I
yeah.
go to Him, whether it's venial or mortal sins, just to go. And get that grace that he offers mm-hmm. me at the church that he founded, that's a blessing. It's not a curse. It's not something that's like, no matter how uncomfortable it is when you're going in there, no matter how bad you've been, God is going to be like he was to the prodigal son. He's going to run to you and give you grace, give you love, and tell you, yeah, sin no more.
Right.
But I'm here with you, and I'll always be here with you. So I think we should, especially during this time, be motivated to go and receive that grace, because it's an important grace that we forget is a grace. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Well, and as a reminder, I know we all know this, but I need to hear this as much as I want anybody listening who's not aware of this to hear this. The priest is not forgiving your sins. Mm-hmm. It is Jesus Christ working in persona Christi through that priest to forgive your sins. It is him who is there, right? And it's real, man. It is so real. You need that off your heart. You need it off your soul. And Christ wants it. God wants it for you, right? You're the prodigal son, just like me. Run. And just like in the prodigal son, that father is going to run towards you with his arms out. Praise be to God.
Absolutely.
Oh. Just that feeling afterwards is like incredible.
Oh, it's so great.
Such a good feeling.
It's good.
All right, we have 63 seconds until we are done. And in those 63 seconds, we're going to go real fast. We've talked about stuff we're giving up real fast, 15 seconds each. What are you taking on? What are you doing differently?
So I'm doing the beginner level for the Byzantine fast this year because I talked to my priest and told him how intense it was for me. So he was like, we'll work your way up to that. Plus, I'm just trying to do the basics. So trying to do more almsgiving and making more room for prayer in my life.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Nicotine is out of my life, unfortunately, but thank God for me growing. And then also a lot of almsgiving as well, mainly through Knights of Columbus. Join if you're a man. It's great.
Awesome.
And I am kind of given up a lot of social media stuff, and I'm trying to replace it with like better habits like reading and just drawing and being more creative in general, and also doing a holy hour. Like, it's definitely been part of my Lenten journey.
That's awesome. Well, praise be to God. Praise Julian. We don't have time for you.
It's okay.
Because we are done. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Praise Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.